Hi, hello, welcome to Spirit Led Women. I'm your host, Katie Coberline, and I hope after today's episode, you are so freaking inspired, girl, and on fire to go build your business and your life with the Holy Spirit as the foundation. Let's dive right in. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are recording this episode while it's Christmas break. And if you are listening to this live and you have children in preschool to elementary school, girl, I feel you. It has been a long 2.5-3 weeks. My kids go back to school tomorrow. I'm sitting here in my kitchen reading the Bible because I'm starting just to, my fast is like blocking out distractions, blocking out TV. And I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do with my time? And I was like, okay. My little girl is listening to Bluey in the other room and coloring. I can see her. So I politely said, Mommy needs 10 minutes to go preach the gospel and then we can hang out. So I'm going to be diving into Mark. And just so y'all know, when I read out of Mark, he is very like not long and drawn out. Everything is just like story after story after story. There is like Mark's one of the is the shortest gospel. So I want to talk about a lack of belief in what Jesus can do and how that affects our lives today and like what being a modern day disciple and how that applies to us and what does that actually mean? Because if you're anything like me, I can get easily distracted, especially from my purpose when I spend too much time on my phone. And please don't act like y'all don't do the same, okay? I do have healthy boundaries, but I've, you know, have built on social media for 10 years, and that's my livelihood. That's what I do, and I have to set really strong boundaries on my time on there, or I will end up just having other people's, they're like, who you hang out with, you become, right? It's like what I read, that's going to absorb in my mind, and if I am scrolling and I'm seeing a bunch of things that hurt my heart and give me a heartache and I don't agree with, like that doesn't leave me feeling good, right? But I know when I read my Bible, I am going to let this word dwell in my soul. So if you have your Bible, I have the She Reads Truth, the CSB. That's what I'm going to read out of. We're going to be jumping right into Mark 6, and I'm just going to read it to you and we're going to dissect it together, okay? So it says, and we're talking about Jesus, he left there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. Where did this man get these things? They said, what is this wisdom that has been given to him? And how are these miracles performed by his hands? I love this next sentence. Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brothers of James, Judas, and Simon, and Joseph? And aren't his sisters here with us? So they were offended by him. So I just need you, like, if you're anything like me, I picture these scenes in my head, okay? So I'm picturing, like, Israel, like, I'm picturing this little village, and these people, and please give me grace when I read the Bible, because some of these words are hard, and it, like, is very vulnerable for me, someone who's not good with words, to just open my Bible and record, because sometimes I stumble across words, and I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I pronounce that? I love, love, love that they said, isn't this the carpenter? He's so much more, right? And then it says they were offended by him. Y'all, they were offended by the miracles he was performing. They were offended by his wisdom. And Jesus replied to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his home, among his relatives, and in his household. It goes on to say, because y'all listen, Jesus was in his hometown, okay? These people that he grew up with as toddlers and children and teenagers. And then, you know, he comes out at 30 years old and says, you know, I'm the Messiah, right? Like, can you imagine? Like, we judge them. That's so bad. But like, we judge them. We're like, how could you hate on Jesus? How could you hate on my man? Right? And it's like, y'all, like they grew up with Jesus. So imagine them being like, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You grew up with us. So we have to take a step back and like see this from their point of view. And Jesus literally said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown. This is the most powerful sentence of the story. It says in verse 5, he was not able to do a single miracle there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And then he was going around the villages teaching. So we're going to pump the brakes here for a second and literally dissect that Jesus was not able to perform the miracles he wanted to perform because of their unbelief. The Bible literally says in this sentence right here, and this is the CSB, he was amazed at their unbelief. And sometimes we just have to take a step back and say, I never want Jesus to feel that way about me. I never want him to be disappointed in my faith. I never want him to be disappointed in how I'm handling something and believing that his hands are on it, right? And like, you guys, we could read the Bible all day long, but sometimes a sentence, it just knocks me out like for the whole entire day. That sentence right there, it makes me emotional because it says he was amazed at their unbelief. Y'all, he couldn't perform miracles in this little village in his hometown because the lack of belief, right? And then I don't think it's a coincidence that right after that, we're going to dive into verse 7. And the authority that he gave his disciples, y'all, in that what they did with that authority, okay? So I'm going to read you verse 7 through verse 13. And it says, and this was Jesus commissioning the 12, okay? He summoned the 12 and began to send them out in pairs. Listen to this sentence, y'all, because we have this authority now with the Holy Spirit. He sent them out in pairs and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the road except a staff, no bread, no traveling bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on an extra shirt. First off, can you imagine just this moment? I think of The Chosen when he's in that little, I think they're in Peter's house and he's summoning the 12 and they all look at him like, what? Hold on. You're sending us where? With who? Like, what do you mean we're going to cast out demons? And can you just imagine this moment really quick with the disciples? And he's telling them, okay, so not only are you going to go do these things, but don't take anything with you, right? He's saying like, just imagine the faith that these disciples had to have, right? Like some of us were like, well, I don't want to offend anyone on Facebook. And Jesus straight up told them like, I'm sending you out. You ain't taking nothing. And this is what you're going to do. Okay. So he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place does not welcome you or listen to you, when you leave there, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So basically, like in modern day culture, y'all, like, trust me, posting about Jesus, when I read the Bible, I'm like, okay, these disciples, can you imagine the adversity they faced? Like when they went out, y'all, they were walking on these little dirt roads with their sandals, walking into villages, preaching people to repent, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing how he's the Son of God. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm afraid that my reel is going to offend someone. Oh, if I share this story, what if so-and-so unfollows me? I still feel that way too, because I have people who follow me who have different beliefs about certain things and I never want to offend anyone. But I'm like, why am I at a place where I'm worried about offending a follower versus offending the one who gives me breath in my lungs? I have to check myself all the time. I am not preaching at you. I am preaching to myself here, okay? So it goes on to say, so they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons, anointed many sick people with oil, and healed them. Y'all, if there is anything we should understand from this story, and it's such a beautiful story, I just read you Mark 6, verses 1 through 13. We read 13 verses, and like the beauty and the power in just reading a couple sentences in the Bible, y'all, like he has given us that authority, and I can't say this enough. I guess 4 or 5 years ago, if you would have said the word demon around me or demonic, I would have thought The Exorcist. Growing up, that was the scary movie that everyone watched at birthday parties, right? Don't act like you didn't do it. That's what we watched at birthday parties. that was like the scary movie, right? That's what I always thought of when I thought of demon. Like, oh, like that's scary. No, like demonic spirits can be generational. That could be a spirit of anger. That could be a spirit of greed, entitlement. That could be a spirit of depression that weighs over us. And please hear me when I say this. Like, I've taken my son to therapy. Me and my husband have done biblical therapy. Like, there is nothing wrong with therapy. There is nothing wrong with medicine. I just want you to know that I truly believe the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth has so much power, and I really don't believe he can heal us of these things that we struggle with, these spiritual things that we struggle with, if we got like a 90% take of our faith. You know, it's like, I want my faith on a hundo. I want like 100 emojis, right? Like, that's what, when Jesus looks down on me every single day, I don't want my faith to be on like a low battery. I want it to be so strong that like, I just believe in miracles. I believe that his hand is on my life. I believe that he can heal the things that we're walking through, the burdens that are on our backs, the things that we face spiritually in our households and with our families. I believe that he is the miracle worker. You know, I've just realized it's really, really hard for me to disconnect the two. When I walk into my church doors and I have my hands up in the air and I say, Jehovah Nisi fights your battles. Jehovah Rapha heal your body. Jehovah Jireh meets your need. Jehovah Shalom be your peace. I don't just sing those in a building on Sunday. I cover myself in those words. So when I'm feeling anxiety, Jehovah Shalom, my peace, right? Like, the Lord's peace is supernatural. He gives perfect peace to those whose faith is firm. That's what I clothe myself with when I feel the anxiety and the overthinking and the mental torment and the depression, right? When I get nervous in my finances and those seasons hit me, Jehovah Jireh, he will give me everything I need. I might not be in a season of overflow, but he will give me everything I need. Lord, I won't live in lack. I won't live in fear. I will live in that you are my provider, right? When things are coming at me spiritually, or maybe people have attacked your character, or maybe people have said hurtful things to you, Jehovah Nisi fights my battles. That means that I don't need to fight my battles with my tongue. I don't need to fight my battles with my words or my keyboard. Jehovah Nisi fights. Like, I really believe that God takes it personally when people offend, like when you come at his anointed, right? So I just want to encourage you today, as you're driving, as you're in the shower, I don't know what you're doing, girl, but he's more than a carpenter, that he is a miracle working God, and that if you get anything out of this 12 minutes we just spent together, I'm going to read you the sentence one more time. He wasn't able to perform a single miracle there because he was amazed at their lack of belief. I hope today that your belief goes to a new level, that your faith in Jesus being your provider, your spiritual provider, your physical provider, everything. He is the every good and perfect gift is from above, right? And when we prioritize spiritual time, when we prioritize prayer and fasting and getting in the house of God and just practicing all of these spiritual things, and I'm not saying tradition, I'm saying like you are just making Jesus the priority, right? When we, what we prioritize in the spiritual, he meets us in the natural, y'all. The miracle always begins with what we have. There is not a story in the Bible where like the miracle started because they had more than enough. Pretty sure the miracle started when they had 5 fish and 2 pieces of bread, right? 7 represents completion. The miracle with Moses started with the rod, right? The miracle with the widow, it started with a little bit of olive oil. I'm all over the place here, but I can't put this book down because it's full of everything that I need to get me through my day. So I don't know when you're listening to this. If it's January 2024, let's make this year our best spiritual year. My daughter's starting to have a choir in the back, so I'm going to hop off here. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Sis, I see you listening to the whole episode. Thank you so much. I hope you feel inspired and on fire to get the Lord in the center of your life and your marriage and your parenting and your finances and your business. Get him all up in there, girl. And if you wouldn't mind, honey, after you hop off here, give me a review. Let me know how the podcast is helping you grow your walk with Jesus. Till then, I'll see you next time. Love you guys.